afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. Welcome to 2012.
Oh, Pat, how you doing? Look at you. You're looking great this year.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I've been trying to put it together for this year.
You're still Pat Francis?
Yeah, and who are you?
Gary Lucy.
Fantastic. We weren't replaced like they do sometimes with that at-the-movie sneak preview show.
Right, exactly.
All of a sudden they hire someone else that's got a good thumb.
Remember when they got that was a good one. Special guest Preston Lucy is in the house
today.
Yeah,
Gary's son. He's got his cans on. He's watching something on his computer so we can swear. If we swear, he won't hear it. I'm going to try not to.
Week 7 of the winter break here at the LAUSD. It tends to go on and on a bit.
Does he start back this week?
No, next week. So,
oh, my God.
A few more days. But no, it's good. It's good. Gives us time to get the crops in.
That's true.
So that's a good thing. But
Silent Partners here, Matt Belknap,
and this show a little bit special. We're gonna dispense with all the foo-foo-rah,
yeah,
and just get right down and take a look back at 2011. Oh, what a year that was.
Talk about things we liked or things we don't like.
Yeah,
we got a new theme song too.
Emerging trends. Preston. Hold on.
Preston just said, Gary's going to go put a...
You fooling the people. I'm going to go...
It's fine. It's
put
fine.
The kibosh on
it's fine. Okay. Gary's leaving. Okay. I can't believe Gary... Ooh, he just grabbed his kid. Grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and threw him against the wall.
Did nothing.
I saw angry Gary.
I know. I've never seen angry Gary before.
yeah, that was 2011, man. It seems like only yesterday.
Do you think it was a good year for music?
It was an iffy year for music. There was good things. There was bad things. We're going to hear some of the best, and you brought some of the worst.
Well, you would probably think I did. I tell you what, there's no band on here that you might never have heard me talk about before.
I was trying to focus on ones I hadn't mentioned
what?
Before, but I did want to start off with with the first ever Rock Solid flip flop.
Uh oh.
I was you know making up all my best lists and back when we did the Justified or Unwarranted on that Lana Del Rey video games, and I kind of slagged it off, but that song is haunting. That's a great song. I think that's what that might be my favorite song of the year.
There you go.
And then I give a free pass to Coldplay. What the hell? That's garbage.
you've sunk into Coldplay a little more, and you don't like that CD.
It's not good. But anyway, so I just wanted to.
How's it doing? Is it selling? Is that Coldplay CD selling at all?
I don't think any record sells anymore. I think kids download it and then just throw it away.
Bublé sells.
Bublé.
Bublé. Michael Silent Partner Matt Belknap says Michael Bublé sells.
Bublé Nation, man. That's what it's all about. But well, let's kick things off here. I wanted to. May I begin?
Yeah, you may begin.
This,
yes.
This is one that I did start about, and this is. Favorite record of the year, favorite concert of the year, definitely Wild Flag. And just great. And I know you love the Cars, and I know you have an appreciation for Patti Smith.
Yes.
So I think this is the this is a song that combines the best of both, and it's called Endless Talk, and it's right here on Rock Solid.
Wild Flag. You saw them at the Roxy, right?
Yeah, it was great. By Roxy, I mean Troubadour, but that's all I'm saying.
Well, that's definitely Carr's keyboard there.
Those Carr's backing vocals.
Yeah, anyway, that's good.
All right,
that's
so
good.
We are in it.
I like it.
Too.
That song, real quick, I think that album is like $5 on Amazon MP3.
Is that right? Get your mitts on it.
At least it was last time I checked. So get up on that.
Yeah, it's good listening. It's celebration of music. You know, what's great about music. And I think...
$5?
Yeah. that's where we're at in music.
Okay.
And the new season of Portlandia starts this week, so it's big times for
I've never Terry seen Brownstein. Portlandia.
Oh, it's good. You know,
I gotta get on the Portlandia wagon.
Check it out. But that's neither here nor there. Let's take a look back at what you liked.
Well, I like the Portlandia soundtrack.
Really? What's that like?
It's weird. This is probably the newest artist on my list, and she's been around for 10 years. This is a little Avril Lavigne from her album Goodbye Lullaby. I like this album top to bottom. I can put it on and listen to it when the kids aren't in the car because she likes to swear.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this was a single, What the Hell? What the Hell? I can't stop, 'cause I'm having to. This is her inner Tony Basil coming out. Chick's got to get crazy. But I own all of Avril Lavigne's albums, and when I first bought her first album, my wife said, "You're a dirty old man." But now she's 27, so I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
now, I can do it now.
Now it's more appropriate, I guess.
It's more appropriate if you want to. But that's my inner 12-year-old girl when I listen to Avril Lavigne, but I like it.
I'll never forget the first time I heard that Skater Boy song. I was in Home Depot in that little Tool corral they had.
Yep.
And there was some power drill that had a radio in it for some reason.
Oh, cool.
And it was playing Skater Boy, and it seemed like, you know, that song seemed appropriate coming out of a power tool for some reason. It was like, it made sense.
I would love to see Tim Allen use that drill.
Preston loved that.
Loved it.
Hey, speaking of girls like Avril Lavigne, that's my next one I want to talk about. This great band called Girls from San Francisco that didn't get a lot of that. Another great album this year. And they're one of those young bands that make you hopeful for the future of rock. And this is a song called Honey Bunny on Rock Solid.
Let's hear it.
Like that, a little surf riff thing there. Yeah, on that pipeline thing.
Little Dick Dale action happening on that.
There was San Francisco.
Little Miserloo there.
Yeah, totally. And the main guy, Chris Owens, he grew up in some weird Christian cult, like the Children of God or something like that, but he escaped to rock and roll. And they have two great albums and an EP out. Very prolific, I think. I think rock's in good hands.
I like that the kid's got a bony body and he's got dirty hair.
Yeah, exactly. As it should be.
The opposite of me. My hair's very clean and I'm not bony.
And the ladies love you.
That's right. Well, yeah. I live with three ladies. Uh-huh. My wife and two daughters. So the next, I have two now that I want to play in succession.
Yes.
Because in 2011, some old bands, they brought the rock.
Hmm.
And the first band is a band that I don't even like this band. I didn't like this band in their heyday, but I stumbled onto this album because I review albums for www.popculturebeast.com. And this is the reunion album by a band called Mr. Big. Who's got
wow.
Billy Sheehan, amazing bass player, Paul Gilbert. I mean, the individually great players and singers, but I never really got into them. This song is called Undertow, and this is Mr. Big in 2011. She said she couldn't do it
if she tried. Wow. But she never tried. She never tried. Since the last 20 years never happened.
I know. Her face like cyanide. It gets her by. But just for this is a drug addiction song. How long can she keep on changing? Something wrong. My clip might be too long. Dun, 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 dun. caught in the undertow of drugs.
What do you suppose the bandana budget was on that on that
this
album?
This is not a bandana band, though. Not really.
They might be now for, you know, just with the receipt and...
Now, here's the other band from the 80s that and again, that Mr. Big album, that whole album for me, top to bottom, is listenable front to back, as is this album by Whitesnake.
What?
This is called Love Will Set You Free. Hey, David Coverdale. It's 1987.
Wow, that's like that Shirley Jackson short story, The Lottery. Where, why do we stone people do that? I don't know. We just always done it. Like, Whitesnake, why are you making an album?
I know, just keep making them.
I don't know. Why.
And the album's called Forevermore.
Tradition, Forevermore.
Forevermore, and then Mr. Big, What If?
It doesn't sound bad, and I think it's good. I think it's like
if you're a fan of these two bands, they actually maybe released two of their best albums ever in 2011.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good. It's good for those diehards, for those people, right. if you were like
no one knew's going to go, hey, I'm going to listen to this Mr. Big album. No one is ever going to do that.
It's like a musical equivalent of those Japanese soldiers who didn't hear the war was over and they were staring on those islands and they just wanted to get a new Whitesnake album. Relax. But no, it's like that. And it's,
right. No, I'm totally down. I totally agree with you.
And there's hipster equivalents like Urge Overkill had a new album and it's great. But it's not, you know, it's not.
It's not going to sell anything in 2011 or 12.
It's not going to make it be 1994
right,
again.
Exactly.
Whatever.
It's not going to.
Oh, speaking of that, I watched Pulp Fiction over the weekend. And,
okay.
Which holds up? Yeah, exactly.
You're square.
Answer me, what the hell does Mr. Wolf do that's so special? Okay, you got to clean up this car and get out of those bloody clothes.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't have figured that out.
He's the equivalent of Dr. Phil for me. Like, when the woman comes on and she's getting physically abused, and he says, well, you got to get out of that situation. Really? Oh, my God. You are a genius. Give him a TV show.
What he does that no one else could have done is he knows to take Hollywood Way.
Oh, there you go.
That's, like, the key. No one else could foresee that is the route.
To get to Toluca Lake from Hollywood.
Vince Vega doesn't even know the valley.
Gary, it sounds like you're saying Pulp Fiction does not hold up.
No. It holds up.
They got to remake it.
Yeah. I want to see what James Marsden would do.
Oh.
Anyway, here, why don't you hit that one, Matt, if you can.
Hit it.
And this is, let's talk about some AM Gold. This really sounds like some old 70s sounds, like some... Loggins and Messina, England Dan and John Ford Coley, Seals and Crofts,
and Firefall.
Firefall. Well, I was going with the and groups because this is
Fire and Fall.
Fire and Fall, because this is Iron and Wine. But it's just one dude. But who calls himself that? And this is
a track of all harmony vocal?
No.
Harmony background vocal?
Let's kick it in here. It's called Tree by the River. Iron and Wine on Rock Solid.
Marianne, do you remember the tree by the river?
He's reminding me a little of Dave Perner.
Really?
The voice a little bit from Soul Asylum when he would sing mellow.
Dark canyon wall, the call and the answer, and the mare in the pasture, it's black and bare and it's deep.
I'm enjoying this.
This is pretty good. Let's kick in for a second here.
The sun in our faces, stuck and leaning on graces, and being strangers to change.
The whole song, huh?
Okay. That's not good.
All right.
Sorry about that. I thought it was gonna kick in a little higher there. What do you think about that trend of bands with only one person like that, but they're a band? Is that
well, I mean, You could say a lot of, I mean, you could say the Pretenders are that band now. I mean, it's always been Chrissy Hynde and a rotating cast after the first couple albums. So, I mean, you know, if they want to keep the name alive, I don't know.
I suppose you're right.
Are you saying like a new band? Like I start a band and I call it, call it Woodchips.
What's your, who's in Woodchips?
Oh, me.
Is this me?
Yeah.
Is this me?
But now, when they tour though, he takes people out with him, right?
Yeah. Especially now. Yeah. He has.
Let me introduce the band. Me.
Me.
And these guys.
That's here for me. Big man.
I don't know. I guess just be a solo artist. Why call yourself by a band name?
I guess if you want to be in a band, but you're just, you know, socially awkward or something. I read.
Well, then I would then call it like the Gary Lucy Band.
That would be good.
Yeah.
What if you have a dumb name?
Oh, right.
What about?
Like if your name sounds.
Oh, if your name's dumb.
Yeah. His name's Sam Beam. That's pretty good.
Sam Beam. Yeah. I can see the logo. It's like a bottle of Jim Beam, but it's got Sam on it.
And he's got a big beard, and he's got five daughters. Could you imagine that?
Does he have? He has a wife.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a wife. They're still married.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a lot of backstory about this guy.
Yeah, that's.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry about this band.
About this band. Anyway, so that was just that was a track I thought was overlooked. He was. He used to have this like really. He was just super quiet and just like very mellow and just acoustic. But he's going for a lusher sound. That's kind of a trend that I've spotted.
The lush sound.
Yeah, the lush sound produced and kind of the kids aren't afraid of melody nowadays either.
I hope not.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. Well,
I got a couple back to back here. These are going to be back to back again. This is an album that I've talked about a million times. I suspect it's going to win a Grammy or two this year. It's the Foo Fighters' "Wasting Light," and this is a song called "Back and Forth."
Ooh.
So again, that's an album that I think is great top to bottom. I know Matt, you did not care for it that much when I lent it to you.
I actually couldn't get into it.
Yeah. Couldn't get into it. Matt could not get into "Wasting Light." I wasted his time.
I didn't give it a fair chance because I just was like, meh, it's the same old Foo Fighters.
Well, it does sound like the Foo Fighters, but I think it sounds like the best of the Foo Fighters. And so this next song is a song that we played, I think, last show maybe. But I just think it deserves to be heard again, a little bit of it. This is the from The Girl and the Dragon Tattoo. This is Karen O, Trent Reznor, and Atticus Ross, and their remake of Immigrant Song, which I just think is amazing.
That's pretty chaotic.
This is what Dexter listens to before he offs someone. Yeah.
Now, I understand you like the American version better than the Swedish version of this movie.
Well, that's because I don't speak Swedish.
Okay.
So,
is there any movies that you like the Swedish version better?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But it's like this.
What about meatballs?
The Swedish...
Meatballs?
Oh, I forgot. I didn't let you go. I didn't let you go with your gag. I stepped on it. Fix it in editing.
Okay.
I like meatballs. But... I think I like Swedish meatballs better.
Okay, that's good.
All right.
So by fixing it, you're going to steal it?
Yeah.
That's fine.
So what I want you to do now is I want you to edit out everything Gary said. The Girl and the Dragon Tattoo, the Swedish version, if I give that a 9.5, then I give the American version a 10. So they're both they're both good.
Man, oh man.
But enough about movies we like. Let's go to you, Gary.
All right. This one's going out to our newest listener, a little guy named Frank Valeriano, who was just born last week. And his dad's a super fan and want to give him a shout out. And this is a group from Chicago. Are you familiar with Chicago?
Yes. With Robert Lamb and Peter Cetera.
Exactly. They're from there. It's a they're called the Smith Westerns. And this song is called "The Weekend." Wrong song. This came out last January, but it really stuck with me here.
Normal to go through life, oh so formal now.
there you go. Once again, young kids loving big hooks.
Yeah, I like the drums there. That boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, cool album. Very, like, T-Rexy and everything like that. It's called Diet Blonde. That's worth a pickup there.
You mean like D-Y-E?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Diet Blonde.
No, yeah, exactly.
They're talking about the pubic hairs. Right?
Of course.
Are we all on board with that?
I think so.
All right. So I'm grouping my things together, like these two coming up. These are two old-time rockers, and everyone's thinking, everything you've played is old-time rockers, Ben. Even Avril Lavigne is old. She's going through menopause, Avril Lavigne. this woman actually probably is through menopause. Stevie Nicks had a new album in 2011. Lindsey Buckingham also had an album in 2011. And they were both great albums. Why don't they just make a Fleetwood Mac album, man. You bitches?
That would have been sweet.
Those bitches. But this is Stevie Nicks. This may be her best album in about 20 years. It's called In Your Dreams, and this song is title track.
In your dreams.
That was produced by Dave Stewart of Eurythmics.
Oh, wow.
That guy likes working with the ladies.
He does.
And now this next album is by a guy who's 70 years old currently.
Whoa.
This is Paul Simon from his amazing album, So Beautiful or So What. And this is a song called Rewrite. This is about a guy who's he's not rewriting a screenplay. He's trying to rewrite his whole life. He's trying to be a better person. So let's hear.
You should raise the stakes.
I've been working on my rewrite. That's right. I'm gonna change the ending.
See, before he dies.
Throw away my title and toss it in the trash. Every minute after midnight, all the time I'm spending, it's just for working on my rewrite. That's right. And I'm gonna turn it into cash. I've been working at the car wash. I consider it my day job, 'cause it's really not a paid job. But that's where I am.
If you like the Graceland album from 1986, this has a lot of the same world music influences in it. And I don't know what I'm talking about.
Snubbed by Grammy voters, this album.
Seriously, it has been?
Yeah.
Nothing.
It seems like total Grammy bait when it came out. I did too.
I actually predicted that it would be up for maybe album of the year. So I'm shocked that was totally overlooked.
Yeah, that Lindsey Buckingham, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. was brilliant. And also that Glenn Campbell album. Remember that? That was really good. And
I like that.
Hold on hope. But
that stinks.
Yeah, what are you going to do, though?
Guy's got Alzheimer's. You can't throw him a bone?
Yeah, well, maybe they'll just tell him he won.
I can understand why Paul Simon, you might go, the guy's got a lot of Grammys.
Right.
And he's 70, but
he's like trying to keep it real, though. He's trying to keep it vital.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, age shouldn't be a factor.
Shouldn't be a factor.
And it shouldn't be a factor with our next artist here.
Okay, let's hear
this
it.
This is...
This guy's 3 years old.
She's like 23 years old. And this is a song that's probably... It's an earworm you probably just finally got out of your ear, but I'm going to put it right back in there. This is like... You know how, Harper Lee, To Kill a Mockingbird, she wrote the one book in her life and that was it.
Right.
Perfect, done, out, deuces. I'm not writing any more books because I did it. That's how, this song is like that for me. It's so perfect. She doesn't really need to make another record as far as I'm concerned because it can only detract from her greatness. But, this is, Creation, and this is a anthem called Gucci Gucci. Have you heard this?
You are interested. So far I haven't.
It's about the difference between fashion and style, Pat. Fendi, Fendi, Prada. Them basic bitches wear that shit so I don't even bother. I put that on my partner, I put that on my family. Oakland City represent, address me as your majesty. Yeah, you can kiss the ring, but you can never touch the crown. I smoke a million swisher blunts and I ain't never coming down. Bitch, you ain't no Barbie, I see you work at Harvey's. Number two, supersizing, hurry up, I'm starving. Radical, on the block I'm magical. See me at your college campus, baggy full of Adderalls. Call me. She's eating Arby's, she's selling Adderalls to college kids, having gay sex.
Smoking blunts.
Smoking blunts. She doesn't care.
This is a lot like the Stevie Nicks CD.
That's a lot like the Stevie Nicks.
Very much.
Creation is awesome. She's from, like me, she's from the Oak Town. She's Oakland representing. Likes to get hyphy like me. And she's like this, like a Russian, you know, daughter of Russian immigrants. And, you know, she probably weighs like 95 pounds or something, but she's in a big feud with Rick Ross. Do you know that?
I don't know who Rick Ross is.
Oh, he's like, he looks like, you know, that fighter Kimbo Slice, that backyard brawler. Kind of looks like that, but meaner.
You need to name more people. I don't have any idea who you're talking about.
But
you could be making up names.
The guy who played
Matt Sissy.
B.A. Baracus in the movie.
Looks like the guy who played B.A. Baracus in the A-Team movie.
Oh, you mean Rampage Jackson?
Yeah.
Rampage Jackson.
Only like super fat.
Yeah.
But, but she's in a feud. She doesn't care.
Gucci, Gucci hijacked the podcast with names.
Sorry,
name checking.
But
no idea.
That just sounds like the Now sounded today. Just in touch with what the kids are about. And anyway, that just I just thought that was good.
That's nice. And the whole album, you like the whole thing?
No, she doesn't have an album as far. I mean, it's like
she's
coming
got that
out.
One song.
She's got the one song. It was 30 million views on YouTube, and she was supposed. In fact, she was the Chili Peppers hired her to direct their video. And for that Maggie, Salt Rain Dance Maggie, but then
aren't there directors that have more experience directing?
But she was just like they wanted a piece of her magic, you know what I mean? Because she was like, she was like the it girl for.
I'll tell you what, new media is taking over.
Yeah,
we need a director for this video. Go to YouTube.
But they shelved whatever she came up with. But yeah, I got a feeling it's gonna be like the Nicki Minaj album when that finally came out. Everyone's like, oh yeah. But
for now you love it.
I love it. I love it.
All right.
Do you have something?
Yeah, back to Fogey Talk on Rock Solid. Again, these are two bands that I've always liked, and it's the same old story with me today. Two old bands. They had comeback albums this year. The Bangles and the Cars, and we're going to hear I'll Never Be Through With You by the Bangles, and then we'll jump right into Free by the Cars.
Oh, good energy.
I wish you could love me like I love you.
This is the Bangles' best album of all time.
And I wish you
really?
I think it is.
Even All Over the Place, you include that?
I do. I think it is.
Blasphemer.
Co-produced by Matthew Sweet.
I need to listen to it.
Let's jump right into Free from the Cars. Mirko Kasich finally said yes. Matt is strumming his air guitar.
Do some robot.
Now, if that comes on the radio, you say, hey, that's the Cars.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if that comes on your radio, you say, what happened to my radio?
Why is it playing?
The Cars are on my radio. But those are two albums I don't think people have heard, unless, again, you're those diehard Whitesnake, Mr. Big, Bangles and Cars fans. But the Cars went on tour, 12 dates, and that's it. Thanks, Rick.
That's it? Out?
That's it. I think that's
done?
It. That's done.
Oh, my God.
They're done. He finally
ran out of gas.
Matt Belknap said they ran out of gas.
Maybe they'll get a new member and make it a hybrid.
The new Cars with Todd Rundgren.
Oh, right. That wasn't too bad. I didn't mind that much. But
it wasn't too. I saw that tour twice.
Yeah, but well, what a shame. That was that's it for them, huh? I guess.
Well, I mean, they can record again, but I know that after those 12 live dates, that's it.
Well, it wasn't like they were the greatest live group.
Oh, they're mesmerizing on stage. they get up there and then they stand.
Yeah,
and they play, and then they talk. They say, "How's everyone doing?" And then they play a song, and then they say, "This one is a new one."
It's like a wax museum.
It is like a wax museum. It's crazy. And the drummer wore headphones like I'm wearing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and was struggling with his instrument like I've never seen a person struggle before.
Really?
He was like wrestling an alligator up there with that drum set. It was like, oh, he really hasn't played in 27 years.
Why can't I think of his name? That's not LED. That's
no, David Robinson.
David Robinson, yeah. Right? Yeah, who was he was in the
Spurs.
What did you say?
From the San Antonio Spurs, the Admiral on drums. That was why he was having such problems.
No, the Cars, David.
Not my profession.
The Cars, David Robinson. He also designed all the Cars album covers. He was probably like a really supposed to be like an artist, and they just said, "Well, can you maybe hold down the beat?" And he said, "Yes."
They just put him in there.
They just put him in there.
You know, he was in The Modern Lovers. Did you ever get into that?
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah, with that was, you know, like, you know, Class of 77, like one of the original punk bands, but it was Jonathan Richman. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then Dave Robson on drums, and then Jerry Harrison went on to...
Ooh, Talking Heads.
Yeah, and then another fella, and then that Roadrunner and all that stuff.
But, oh, nice.
We're way off the topic now.
We are. Let's jump in.
Let's get back. We're taking a look back at 2011, some of the things we hadn't talked about yet on the podcast, some good things. This is another trend I spotted. It seemed like big groups are a big trend nowadays, like, you know, 30, 40 people on stage, like Arcade Fire and stuff like that. But
how many members in Arcade Fire?
I think they have like 11 people or something like that.
It's a lot when you got to split up the money.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like that guy that decides to have a band by himself. Then maybe that's the way to go.
All the jacks. So we got the miniature bands, and we have the big bands. This band only has like, you know, 5 members, which is like a pretty standard number. But their name is Group Love, and it sounds like they have like 1,000 people. And there's a classic rock connection here. But first, let's hear a little bit of their song, Tongue Tied.
Okay.
Group Love on Rock Solid. Does it sound like 1,000 people, like Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, or one of those polyphonic sprees or something? Take me to your best friend's house, go around this roundabout, oh yeah. Oh, take me to your best friend's house, I loved you then, I loved you now, oh yeah. Don't take me tongue-tied, don't wait no goodbye, tongue-tied. Hiccups there in the thing. That's Group Love featuring on drums the son of Trevor Rabin from...
From 80s Yes.
80s Yes, yeah.
From Let's Have a Hit Song Yes.
Exactly.
Owner of a Lonely Heart Yes.
So you see, he's got it in the genes there.
Very good.
But that sounds pretty good, huh?
I did like that. Now, you were talking about Edward Sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw them on Conan O'Brien. Like, I was at the show when were on. And those guys like stink. Like,
is that a fact?
Not as musicians. They just physically just smell.
Very holistic,
like,
and
yeah, like they're living the
earthy.
Like, they just don't look like, oh, look at those guys, dirty hippies. Oh no, they're dirty hippies. And you're right. There's like, there might even be people in the band that don't play instruments. They just they dance. I think they just sway. I'm not kidding.
I think that's a trend with the young people. I think like I have some sisters in their 20s, and it seems like a lot of their friends, they like, you know, there's a lot more like group living situations. Maybe it's the economy or whatever, right. But it seems much more of a like a tribal culture almost, where they just have these pods and they're living together.
Are you saying that your siblings are sister wives? Is that what you're telling me?
No.
No, not at all.
I'm saying they're dirty hippies.
Okay, I'm going to jump into two things that came out this year. They just came out the tail end of this year.
Oh.
By the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
But these are not new songs. These are two live albums that are just seeing the light of day in 2011. The first one is called The Brussels Affair Live, 1973, and you can only get it on googlemusic.com.
Oh.
It's only available there for like $4.99. And I'm like, $4.99, I'll download it. I love the Stones. It's the best Stones live album I've ever heard. Forget all of their 20 regular releases, live albums.
They had some bad live albums, but
this one's really good. Uh-huh. And let's hear Angie from this.
What year is this?
This is 73. This is Goat's Head Soup. So Mick Taylor.
From whence the Angie comes.
Yep. There's just a feel on this live album. And plus, again, I like live albums when they're from one specific show.
Right.
It's just all, I just... I love it.
Yeah, Mick Taylor, very underrated.
Yeah.
good. Probably a lot of waffles backstage. Yeah. This was in Belgium.
So this is, then this next one, this is from 1978. There was a DVD released, and this is the only place you can get the CD. They threw a bonus CD in there if you bought the DVD. And it's live in 78. This is on the Some Girls tour.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I burped. It's terrible. Not good broadcasting. And this is, I know, I just, I can't stop burping now. This is when the whip comes down from 78. So Mick Taylor's going and Ron Wood is in the band now.
Hell yeah.
I saved my money and I took a train. Wherever I go, the team is the same. When the whip comes down, the whip comes down.
They play 8 of the 10 songs from Some Girls on this concert.
Oh.
Solo, but yeah, I just point those out because I know you know Stones fans. If you're tired of their crappy live albums, these are two really good live albums, and really, really have a feel for the era that they were in at that point in their career. I can't talk; don't know what I'm saying. So 73 and 78.
There's no shortage of good Stones product this year. They really
no. They re-released Some Girls with a bonus disc of 12 songs that were cool.
I wonder, but, you know, as deep a well it is, there is a bottom to it. Like, what are they going to get to? Are they going to start, we're going to get some dirty work outtakes.
The worst. That's dirty work is the worst. It's so terrible.
I have the acoustic version of One Hit to the Body.
Yeah, it's just terrible. And One Hit to the Body is one of the better songs on the album. Such an 80s piece of crap that they did. And Steve Lillywhite produced it.
Oh, is that a fact?
It's crazy.
Just goes to show you.
I know.
Speaking of Steve Lillywhite.
Hey, let me hear it.
He produced this next thing we're about to hear now. What are the odds of that?
What the F?
This is a real guilty pleasure. This is something that, it's a show tune, in fact. It's Reeve Carney, the Edge, and Bono from the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. It's called Rise Above.
And Bono's singing on this too?
He sings a little bit. You'll hear.
How come I haven't heard this?
Oh. Gotta listen to the radio.
Radio?
This is a guilty pleasure, like when I'd hear that Evanescence song or something from that superhero movie.
Let me ask you, if you two released these songs, would it be a good album?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe. Could be. But
you think the songs might not be good?
This was the hit single.
And you said right.
Sounds great.
Now that's Reeve Carney. He plays Spider-Man.
That's not Bono.
That's
right
not
there?
Bono, isn't that something? Yeah, he sounds just
like Bono.
Yeah.
How long will it take?
That's Bono, right?
About Reeve Carney is one, they're doing a Jeff Buckley movie, and he's going to be Jeff Buckley, so that'll be
That sounds like good casting. Yeah, just from hearing this
from his voice, and yeah, very good looking kid, and his mom actually goes to our church, and he's nice lady and nice kid and everything like that, but yeah, when we heard the news, like, oh, he's going to be in that Spider-Man musical, it was like, it's like, oh my god, he got shipped off to Iraq or something, you know, because people are dropping like flies in there. But
and he plays Spider-Man.
He plays Spidey. That's a big break.
He flies around the around the place. So they call it theater.
Yeah, it's called the theater.
Gary, do you have any big disappointments of 2011? Something you were really looking forward to, and then you were like, oh.
Let me think. Wow.
Boy, that's not good.
Kind of caught me off guard there. Well, I was a little, saddened by the breaking up of this band here, this Matt will play a little bit of it right now, see if you can guess what it is. Here, this is
Sonic Youth.
REM.
This is Sonic Youth. Okay, cool. Is R.E.M.?
Yeah. This is from their last album. Or, you know, the one before this Greatest Hits.
I never got to see them live.
Oh, man. Okay, I'll let you hear the chorus, then I'll ask you what this song's about.
Mine smell like honey.
Mm-hmm. That's right. This is a song about a bee bragging about his farts. And that's why they had to break up.
Now, when they all sat down, when Peter Buck and Mike Mills and Stipe, they came into the room and they go, "Well, let's. Does anyone have any ideas to start the songwriting process?" And who raised their hand with that?
That sounds pretty Stipe to me.
But a good album.
Yeah, it was great. It was a real return to form, and the
previous album was good too. Accelerator.
It was good. Accelerator was fine. They went. I think it was good. I was going to say, that breakup was 10 years too late, but it was right on time because they got to go out on top a little bit.
They did.
I like that song until that comes to the break when they start going, "Whoever smelt it, dealt it." It's just corny. It's like one too far, a little too far.
It really is. It really is.
Do they have a song about cutting the cheese?
That's what Radio Free Europe is
about. So you were disappointed by the breakup of R.E.M., but not by the product released.
Right, just to clarify. Exactly. That was very fine. A lot of people slagged off this Strokes album. Can we hear a little bit of that thing? I thought it was just
What's
fine.
This guy, Casablancas?
Julian Casablancas. I thought it was good. I thought it was sounded strokey. Nice angular guitar work.
Yeah, how do you not like that? That's great.
It's just fine, yeah. And I think it's, maybe just backlashy.
How long has it been between albums? That's the problem, kids.
That was about 5 years, yeah.
Nowadays you got to keep your name out there. You can't go, "Well, I'm going to do my solo project and then I'll come back and do a Strokes album." No, can't do it. Fuck that.
Yeah, no, you got to keep the product out there.
My disappointment, I'm not even going to play any of it. I'll just tell you what it was. Mm-hmm. Was these guys from San Francisco, City by the Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's named Journey.
Oh, no.
They released their second album with the Arnel Pineda.
Okay.
The guy from Philippines.
Sure.
That they found, YouTube sensation.
Yes.
First album with this guy, stellar.
Uh-huh.
10 out of 10. Every song, a Journey winner.
Very popular in his homeland. It sold like lumpia over there.
It's crazy. So then they release an album. They call it Eclipse, and they spell it like they did, like Escape, with letters and numbers. So it's like ECL1P53 Eclipse.
Which, as we learned from Matt, is called
Leet Speak.
Yes. Did I say that right? And then they make the album cover, they put that scarab spaceship on it, just like Escape. So you think, this album's going to be like Escape. Uh-huh. And it's some prog rock yes type of bullshit with songs are 6:44, 6:27, 6:10. These big long, it's like they forgot how to write. Journey's supposed to, 3-minute songs that people can sing along to and drink a Budweiser and wave a flag to. We don't want your prog rocky bullshit.
Why are you entering a second experimental phase? Like, we've worked it out now.
You got a guy that sounds like Steve Perry for a reason.
Not the formula.
You didn't not look around YouTube for 2 years to find a guy that sounds like Steve Perry so then you could play Emerson, Lake, and Palmer stuff.
Yeah, like, and if you want to jet, like, I'm going to throw some those craisins into my tuna salad. Okay, something like that. Jazz it up a little bit like that. But
song titles blow. Resonate. Tantra.
When you were
human feel ritual. Shut up.
Tantra. Oh, no, don't tell me. But that's not what about what
it makes me long for something called ROCK in the USA at this point when I hear song's gonna be called Resonate. Track 6, Resonate.
Resonate.
Shut up.
Resolate.
Yeah.
Did when you were describing that album cover, that made me think, I don't know if we've talked, have we not talked about, did we talk about that ELO Discovery album cover and the discovery I made about that?
No.
Okay, picture the ELO Discovery album cover. The guy's like looking at the thing on the front. Like,
he's
Aladdin.
Like dressed like Aladdin. Yeah, like he found a treasure or a lamp.
We did talk about that.
I don't remember.
Okay, good. And it's Brad Garrett on the back? It's Brad Garrett on the back.
It does look like Brad Garrett.
No, it's totally Brad Garrett. He's like 19 years old.
It's really Brad Garrett?
Yeah, it was like first gym.
I don't remember this at all.
We totally talked about it
like 2 weeks ago.
Did you talk about it on his episode of Never Not Funny?
No,
because I don't remember this at all.
Oh.
Did you not listen to his episode number?
That's okay if you didn't, but I was...
No, it's not.
To Gary's family. Episode?
We are a family.
I was too busy writing letters to the Journey's management.
About that crummy
about
album.
About this crummy Eclipse album.
And then that also made me think, have you been hearing that lately? It's been floating around the internet. There's that, like, it's just the isolated vocals of Bob Seger, Hollywood Nights.
No, but I just saw Bob Seger last week.
Did you?
Yeah, at the Staples. At Staples Center.
How was that?
How can I say that? It makes you really, when you go see Bob Seger, you really see why Bruce Springsteen's Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
Because like Bob Seger, 14 people on stage, no backdrop,
right?
No video screens,
okay.
Barely lighting.
Wow.
I mean, they just come out and they play the songs and he sounded great. Everyone sounds great, but there's no showmanship. It's like, this one's from 73. Okay. You know, this one's about the road. Uh-huh. And if, you know, we didn't have good enough seats to where I could even see his face.
Right.
You know, so it's like...
He's a video screen.
So that's why when people say Springsteen is awesome, Springsteen is, compared to other people his age with music of similar styles, yeah, he blows them out of the water. The guy runs around, slides on his knees, kisses the big man. God bless his soul.
God bless his soul.
But...
I'm pouring out some of my Coke.
But he sounded good. So, I mean, I don't know what to say.
But, and also, like, the years have not been kind to Bob, like, compared to Bruce, like...
No.
Like, why does... Do you think Bruce has had some work done?
I would say maybe he had some hair plugs, maybe.
That's okay, I suppose.
Yeah, but I don't think,
how many procedures do you think he had?
Maybe he had, let me tell you something. I told Patty that I was gonna get some plugs. And she said, Bruce, how many... This makes me laugh, because she... She asked me how many hair plugs I was going to get. And I said, yeah. I'm going to take it slow. We're probably going to start out with 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's probably for the best.
What if he did just have 4 hair plugs? That's it. That's all I need.
That's all I need. I call this one Scooter.
Changes made up town when this big plug joined my head. What? I am trying to find a picture of Brad Garrett from the back of that Discovery album, and I can't. That is unbelievable.
I'll see if I can find it. And you'll say, oh my God, that's so him. He's 19 years old. But this Bob Seger thing, like, it's, he sounds great, but there's a lot of, like, Brenda Vaccaro breathing in there.
Oh, really?
Like, she was looking so right.
Well, I'll tell you what, by the time he played his last song of the night, which was, he closed out with Rock and Roll Never Forgets, mm-hmm. He was gassed. He was done. Mm-hmm. That was. There couldn't have been another song if you had wanted another song.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't play Like a Rock.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
Which was fine.
He played
all good. He didn't play Shakedown.
He played the song that was better, like a Paper, which is not quite as good as...
I'm Pat Francis.
Like a
Hey, that was our best or worst.
Best
or whatever,
worst
whatever.
Or just a 2011 in
stuff
review.
Stuff that we liked or didn't like. You don't have to agree or disagree. But post what you guys liked in 2011. Maybe there's stuff out there that we haven't heard. I'm sure that I haven't heard. So
I got a real chill wave vibe to take us out if you want.
Oh, yeah, let's do
this
it.
This is a song called The Wilhelm Scream. Do you know what the Wilhelm Scream is?
Nope.
It's like a classic sound effect from like the Universal Library. It's like it's in a lot of movies, and you're like, you're like,
okay,
oh, that's that scream.
It.
But this is a guy named James Blake. This is like the minimum requirements you need for a song. He's got, it's like a British kid. He's got kind of like a, he's got a Michael McDonald thing going. But I'm Gary Lucy. Friend us on, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.
Tweet us, retweet us.
Tell all your friends.
People to listen.
About Rock Solid.
Write a nice review.
And we will we'll catch you back here next time. Thank you, Matt Belknap.
Thanks, Matt Belknap. Silent Partner. Thanks, Preston.
We out.